Well, let's open the Word of God this morning to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Here Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You know, I love working in the garden. I love getting out in the garden. Don't like pulling weeds so much, but I do like planting and seeing whatever, it's collard greens or string beans, seeing it break forth and grow. And Jesus lived in and was born in an agrarian society where they dug, planted, and harvested. And he uses that analogy and that metaphor towards us. He says, I am the true vine. And they had all kind of vineyards and things growing on the vine and on the portions you'd build for it. I forget what it's called now, where things would grow on the vine. He says, my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit. And you say, oh, that's so cruel to cut off parts that are not bearing fruit. Well, that just makes it healthier and has more energy in the plant to grow bigger and better. So it's a good thing. And God even does that when it comes to us. He says that it will be even more fruitful. Fruitful. Did you realize that you were fruit? You said, no, wait a minute, you're calling me a name. I didn't call you a fruitcake. But we make cakes. I've got cookies and cakes made out of fruit, and they're good. And God, in the same way, has planted in us for us to grow, for us to multiply. And that's what John 15 is about, showing the multiplication and who we are. See, we were created to glorify God. That's why you exist. That's why we are to grow. That's why we're to get better and better and more like Jesus is. And God created us for his glory. He created us where people would see us and they would say, oh, wow, what a wonderful person. What a wonderful character. You were made to glorify God. That's why you exist. That's why I exist, to glorify God. But how? And that's what I want to briefly show you this morning. How are we to glorify God? We're just human beings. But you know what? You're a human being that's created in the very image of God. The very image of God. God created you and me to glorify God in union with Jesus Christ. You say, wow, Pastor, you mean I'm going to be in union with Christ? That's right. Right now you are, through faith in him. That's why we exist, to bring glory to God in union with Jesus Christ. Because everything we do, we depend upon Jesus Christ. We put our trust in him, and he works through us. You see, he's a part of that vine network, and he sends and he empowers us. When I say sends, that means sends his life into our life so that we're more and more like Jesus Christ as time goes on. And that growth is an awesome thing. What if you were just person cut off and you couldn't develop anything, you could not accomplish anything? God has put in the very spirit of man the desire to conquer, the desire to grow, the desire to invent and to make new things. But it is all to be in union and communion with Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, we cannot do anything. Nothing even in our jobs and our work. We need to give glory to God each day that he empowers us so that we will bring glory to God in our character, where we treat other people, in every aspect of our life, because we are depending on Jesus Christ and we are in union with him. Imagine that you are in union with God. You were created in the image of God. And God works all things together for good for us to become more and more like him each day. Just like if you are like me and you like flowers and you like vegetables and so forth, to look out the window. Sometimes I get my wife, honey, look at how the collard greens are growing. It's even at 0 degrees outside and they're still growing. I'm saying, well, we'll go out and pick some, even in the cold. Yep, we eat them even in the cold weather because it's life in it. Life that God gives to us comes through a process through his son Jesus Christ, because he's making us to be more and more like Jesus. And if like Jesus, then like God himself. I want to tell you a story. You know, as I grew up, I loved to play. And we had this game that we would play called, if I had one wish, what would it be? Any of you played that as children or still playing it now? If you had one wish, and we would say, in the whole wide world, we'd close our eyes, and we would say, in the whole wide world, what's your wish? And sometimes we'd say, I want to go to Disneyland. I want to go to Disneyland. And then we find out there were things better than Disneyland. Well, I would want this and I would want that. But you only have one wish. And some people would have a wish. My one wish is that I would have all the wishes in the world. You ever play that? What is your one wish? If you had one wish, if I had one wish in the whole wide world, it would not be more money. It would not be a house or a car. It would not be more collard greens. If I had just one wish in the whole wide world, and only one, it would be to have more of Jesus. More of Jesus. Because when you've got Jesus, you've got everything. More Jesus. I want to read something to you from the Apostle Peter. And he wrote in his apostle in this passage here in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need. Now think about that. God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own and for his own glory and goodness. He's called us. He's changed all things and created all things that would be more and more like him. So notice this, that we may participate. When I read this years ago and reread it a few days ago, it just blew my mind. He says, these has he given us, very great and precious promises. That one promise, that one wish in the whole wide world, given us great and precious promises, that through him we may participate, that is, through Christ, we may participate in the divine nature. God has a divine nature. Divinity means God. And he's given us this great promise that we can participate with God and in God. This divine nature. You know what that divine nature is about? And I want to encourage you to read John 15, 1 through 11. Also, 2 Peter that I'm quoting from now, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. You know what that divine nature is? Take a guess. You don't have to say it out loud and tell me later. You don't have to tell me at all. But take a guess. What is the divine nature? This is a great gift that God has given us so that we can participate in the divine nature. You know what that is? It is his nature. You say, Pastor, God is divine. We're not. That's right. He is. We're not. But he's promised us and he's given us and he's blessed us with this great thing. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, that's Jesus, who called us by his own and for his own glory and goodness. And through these, we have these great and precious promises. That promises this, that we would be like his son, Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate. to be like Jesus. I remember an old song that says, you know, I want to be like more like Jesus. Because you can't get any more than Jesus. This divine nature, you are participating with God when by faith you put your trust in him. And he lives his life through us by faith. And we participate in this divine nature. Father in heaven, this seems remarkable to me. I pray, though, that you would open my mind and heart and minds and hearts of my brothers and sisters to realize that we have been created to glorify you in union with Jesus, that we become more and more like you, more glorious, that we shine like the sun. And the greatest way that we can shine is to love you with all of our minds and all our heart, and then to turn and to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love our brothers and sisters with all of our mind and all of our heart. We're created to bring you glory, so that wherever we go and whatever we do, that others may see your glory shining through us in the way that we love them. And we fall so short from that, Father, and we confess that. But we want to be more like you. We sang a song. We're going to sing a song. Maybe we sang it already. Called You Keep On Coming Through. You do that for us, Lord. You keep on answering our prayers. You make us a part of this divine nature. Please empower us to love, love, love. Even to love the unlovable. Help us to do that, Lord. And bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing a little song here called You Keep On Coming Through. He really does. And our goal is to shine like Jesus. And we keep expressing his love and grace because he keeps on coming through this time. And, you know, God blows our minds. And he keeps coming through. And we see more and more of his love for us, more and more of him. And he is shaping and forming us in his very image. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, what I received from the Lord, I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Again, remember that we were created to glorify God in union with Jesus Christ. And when you are in union with something, it forms and shapes your character, forms and shapes who you are as a person. We are in union with Jesus Christ when we eat and we drink of the bread, which points us to his very body, and the wine, his very life. Just as he gave his life, we receive his life so that we in turn can give our lives. And to give his love keeps on coming through to others more and more and more. That's why he called us. He goes on to say in verse 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember him. And we are in union with him. And in union with him, it shapes our mind. It shapes our thinking to be more loving, be more sacrificial. The way he sacrificed his life for us, let us sacrifice our lives for others. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. See, that bread, symbolic and metaphor of his body. The wine, it points us to his blood that he shed for you and for me. Are you willing to shed your life Would you give your life for others? Remember, I remember, my wife will probably remember this. A member of the church many years ago, he said to me, "You know what? I give my life for you." And he meant it sincerely. "I give my life for you." I thought it was a wonderful, it just took me aback. And someone was willing to give their life for me. We were created to glorify God in union with Jesus Christ as he gives his life and pours out his life to helping and serving others. We too, in union with Jesus, being shaped and formed like him in that union to give our lives for others. For that is what glorifies God, because God through Jesus gave his life for us. And he just keeps on coming through to bring salvation to the world. It's by and through his blood. So Father, we ask you to bless the bread, your body. Help us to be satisfied in Jesus. And as we drink the wine, help us, Lord, bless this wine. Forgive us of our sins, of our selfishness, and let us be willing to glorify you in union with the sacrificial life of Jesus. Let us be like him. We ask this in Jesus' name. I want us to listen to a song, because you know it's all about Jesus. It really is. If you had one word to just canonize or unionize, it's one thing. Union, one thing. It's Jesus. If I had one wish in the whole wide world, I want to be like Jesus. And I want others to see me as like Jesus, that they experience that. What is your one wish in the whole wide world? I hope it's Jesus and be more like him. So let's play the song and even sing along with it. Jesus, it is you.
Sun to rise brings the earth new life in every being. Jesus, it is you who turns the day to night and watches me as I begin to dream. Jesus, it is you who brings me food for my table, who cares for all of my needs, who walks the road with me, has grown with me through all that I have been. Jesus, it is you. Jesus, it is you. Come on, church, let's sing together. Who tells the storm to rest when I am
Lord, all of my days will say,